How did we start?
Well, I was asking about your objectives.
My objectives, when I left London, when I arrived in Lisbon, were, one, to be ready to destroy all the oil installations in the Tagus estuary, which included, I think, two British, and there was BP and Shell, three or more American, the United States being, of course, then still neutral, and the Portuguese state refinery. And I had the greatest help from Shell, first because the top in London, the top Shell people were in very close touch with the SOE, and in fact there was a former Shell chairman had an office in the SOE's office, and secondly because their local general manager, who was a splendid man called Shervington, who was also on that aircraft which was shot down, and he was, I think, the best source of information in Portugal, was a great help to the SIS, and so he had everything all laid on, and he told me, and his sense of security was so acute that he didn't even tell his deputy general manager what he was doing. And this was very fortunate, because one day there was a meeting of all the general managers. Shervington himself was unable to be present, and his deputy was asked by some American general manager, "Are you doing anything about a possible invasion, a possible German invasion?" And he rightly said no, because he wasn't in the secret of what his own boss was doing. And of course, we never got the Americans. We never even, I don't think we ever even approached them. I don't think even Shervington, who of course was constantly in touch with his opposite numbers in the American oil companies, I don't think he thought it was too dangerous to talk to them, because he'd have to give away somehow the amount of thought he was devoting to this subject. I did, however, strangely, get an offer from an important man in the sort of military side of the Portuguese government, who was very close to Salazar, and I didn't think he would have approached me or any British military attaché without Salazar's knowledge. He said to me one day, after I'd been there over at least a year, "We don't, of course, ever talk about it publicly, but we're very worried at the possibility, if to put it no higher, of the Germans invading us one day, partly motivated by all these oil installations, which were probably the biggest oil installations remaining in Europe." He said, "Do you think you could secretly help me to destroy them, or give me the opportunity to let some of my German friends," he said, "I have friends on both sides, know that we are thinking in these terms." And of course, I left at this as fast as I decently and prudently could, because I didn't want to disclose that this was exactly why I'd come to Portugal, to be sure that this that enemy action was frustrated in this sort of way. And so this man's name was Captain Cazais, C-A-Z-A-I-S. And I think he was a bit of a double crosser, but anyhow, he was useful. He said, how could you help us? I said, well, the first thing, of course, is you should have facilities for communicating with Gibraltar, so that they can warn you when they have news that the Germans are crossing the Pyrenees. And I said, secondly, I could arrange for a man with signals experience to come and teach your signalers how to about British procedures and how to operate British radio equipment. I think I went a little bit further, and I said, I think I could probably also get the War Office. I was always talking about the War Office when I really meant SOE, which of course the Germans didn't know the existence of SOE till I think 1942. To send out an instructor, if any of your men want instruction on the subject of explosives. And so I was able to report that, all being well, that I could certainly, I won't say I could certainly, because it was really a Shell achievement, that through Shell we could be sure that their installations would be blown up, and that we had a good prospect that this Portuguese state installation would also be blown up. Well, that was my number one job, under the Chief of Staff directly. My number two job was constant liaison with Gibraltar, which I should visit without fail two or three times a year. And this I did. I was there in 1940. I was there in April and July, and I think sometime in the autumn, which I forget.
Who did you go to see in Gibraltar?
Well, my partner Quennell was quite often there. And SOE had a permanent unit in Gibraltar, because all sorts of things went on from Gibraltar, including landings on the North African coast. Work for the French section, we were always sending small boats up to, you know, the Marseille area, either to land or to evacuate agents of F section.
What exactly happened when you paid these visits to Gibraltar? Can you remember the instructions that you were given?
Or no, because you see, I was. I probably could, but I said no because my partner Hugh Quennell was also the head of H section in London, and in a sense, he was my boss. Anyhow, he knew, he had in his head all the knowledge that SOE London had, and he was in close contact with the top people in Gibraltar, from the governor downwards. There were two governors I saw when I was there. Lord Gorch was the second. The first one, I can't remember what his name, a Scottish name. The first time I went, which was in April 1941, I went by road in a car which belonged to the British Air Attaché Madrid, who was leaving for Gibraltar after his tour of duty in Lisbon came to an end, and he was going back to London for good. And
but what was the character of the liaison with Gibraltar? What type of things would business would you have to transact?
The most important thing was always movement. I remember we certainly discussed on at least one of my visits the case for or against having an SO unit in Tangier. And we did eventually have a unit in Tangier, which was partly made up of SOE personnel who really were refugees from Yugoslavia, including one friend of mine who had quite an eventful time in Tangier, and it was a very valuable place to have, and we wouldn't be discussing it because it wasn't anything where I could help, but there was a unit being built up in Gibraltar, an SOE unit being built up in Gibraltar of trained SOE personnel who, in the event of an invasion, would go out clandestinely into southern Spain in order to organize resistance groups. They had a name which I've forgotten, that probably doesn't matter. But I know there are about a dozen well-trained and sturdy young men who were sitting, doing nothing really in Gibraltar except training, just waiting for their D-Day, which of course never happened, any more than mine did.
You said then that there were these two objectives of the oil installations and liaison with Gibraltar.
Yeah.
Were there any other objectives?
Yes, certainly. And some of which I really defined or generated myself. Liaison with Allied units, particularly Poles and French. I kept on meeting people, Poles, who'd walked from Warsaw. Almost unbelievable. I had one particular friend who's even older than I am and still alive and now lives in London, who was a former diplomat, but had no diplomatic cover at that time. And he was sent out by the Polish, I think it was the Fifth Bureau, who were the department of the Polish War Office in London, responsible for rescuing or collecting Polish soldiers who had been stranded after the fall of France. And there were